News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Well, speaking of streets, our next guest thinks we need to retrofit them in the interest of road safety. We're joined by Dr. Catherine Conlon, public health doctor and former director of human health and nutrition with Safe Food. Catherine, when you say retrofit our streets, what do you mean in layman's language?
Good morning, Shane. I'm talking about, for instance, the recent tragic death of that young boy who was killed in Cork City while cycling after driver failed to stop, really highlighting the ongoing dangers on city streets for cyclists and walkers. And law enforcement, of course, must be a priority, but there are other reasons why roads have become increasingly dangerous. Cars have become bigger and heavier. Cars are moving too fast in towns and cities, and pedestrian and cycling infrastructure is consistently poor. So other cities in Europe are miles ahead of us in moving in this direction. And I'm saying, why are we so slow to take these steps?
Give us examples of what other cities have done and the impact it's had.
Well, we know, for instance, that in terms of speed limits, which we are finally taking the first steps towards limiting speed limits with the introduction of a 60 kilometre speed limit on local roads this month, to be followed up by a 30 kilometre speed limit in urban areas later this year. And this step has been taken by cities across Europe and the UK in recent years with really good evidence of huge benefits. Cutting traffic speeds promotes walking and cycling. We saw this in Bristol. A 20 mile per hour speed limit was introduced in 2012, which led to an increased walking of 23%, an increased cycling of over a fifth, 21%. And in economic terms alone, for every pound that's spent on walking, the return on the investment in that city was £25. For every pound spent on cycling, the return on the investment, the economic assessment was that it generated £8. In Italy, in Bologna, just at the beginning of 2024, 30-kilometre speed limit was introduced. 1 year later, there were no pedestrian deaths in that city. Bike numbers went up, traffic flows went down, 11,000 fewer vehicles on weekdays, more people using bikes and public transport. And that message is being repeated across Europe, Berlin, Brussels, Barcelona. Each city has shown the introduction of a speed limit, followed by investment in public transport, does not lead to longer traffic times for motorists, and it does reduce congestion.
So if you were Minister for Transport in the morning, what would you do?
Well, I would certainly go look forward to the speed limit being introduced in urban centres. But along with it, I think what we massively need is improved pedestrian and cycling infrastructure. So road safety is a massive reason why many commuters, including school children, are deterred from cycling. And very few sane parents in Ireland would allow their children to cycle across town to school with the cycling infrastructure in its current state. Whereas the Dutch, who have mastered the art of world-class cycling infrastructure, advise focusing simultaneously on five key areas to get more and more people onto bikes around cities, not the kind of mismatch that we've been seeing going on in Ireland in recent years. So those key areas include connectivity. The cycling infrastructure has to provide good connectivity from the start to finish. It has to be direct, minimum of detours. Critically, it has to be safe. There should be a minimum of conflicts between cyclists and drivers, not like the cycle lanes that we see that kind of tail off into the side of the footpath. They have to be comfortable and they have to be attractive. Comfort manoeuvring along the cycle route has to be comfortable and easy. So these Dutch engineers say that it's not a pick and mix. All five policies are required. And so that's cycling infrastructure. And the other key area, I think, is not so much related to the infrastructure, but related to the cars. So there's an ongoing trend for these bigger, heavier cars, particularly in Ireland. Cars in Europe are reported to be growing at the rate of a centimetre, about nearly half an inch every 2 years.
Yeah.
And we have all seen these cars, size up small tanks, spilling out of car parking spaces which they don't fit into, occupying cycle lane spaces because they don't fit into their allotted road space. And this trend is making the roads really dangerous, particularly for walkers. And the evidence is there. There was a US study of nearly 18,000 crashes involving pedestrians. They found that SUVs and vans with a bonnet height of more than 40 inches were nearly half as likely to cause a road death as those with lower bonnets.
So would you tax them?
So some cities are introducing these policies and they're working very effectively. Paris has voted to triple the parking fees for visitors' SUVs into its streets. And New York is proposing to rein in large cars through tax policies like weight-based registration fees.
Okay.
So introducing similar policies in Ireland would have the potential to reverse the trend for huge cars that is leading to, would lead to improved safety on the streets.
Final question, Catherine. Like, you make a very powerful, persuasive argument, and yet I can already anticipate the text in opposition to what you're saying. Why are we so reluctant to go down this road?
So, it's the old question that we're balancing the kind of economic impact on workers and jobs against all the other impacts, which
you saw the opposition to the pretty modest changes that were made in Dublin, which have actually worked incredibly well. Yeah. But the level of opposition was extraordinary to it.
Yeah, but if you actually look at the research, you will see that the economic benefits are enormous. In every city that they have been introduced, people are concerned and they're afraid for their local businesses. But in terms of the actual economic benefits in all of these cities, the return on investment for the economy is huge. But the other, just very briefly, impact that we constantly reduce in terms of its importance compared to the economic benefits are the social benefits and the environmental costs of the strategies that we have. And in long-term economic costs, we're not looking at the mental health costs of cities that kids can't cycle to school in, that older people can't walk in.
Okay.
We're not looking at the costs of continuously cutting back on those.
Okay, we do need to leave it there. Really interesting. Thank you indeed for talking to us this morning. Catherine Conlon, Dr. Catherine Conlon, public health doctor, former director of human health and nutrition with Safe Food. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast. Let us know what you think. 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.